Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Podcast Unlocked, episode 36. I'm your host, Stephen Hopper, the head of IGN's Xbox channel. Joining me today are our fellow locksmiths, Peter Eichmans.
Hello.
And Beard in Chief of IGN, Casey Lynch.
Hold me close, my Tony Danza.
Tony Danza.
My Tony Danza.
Samantha. Angela. Mona.
Nobody knows what the fuck I'm talking about. That's
who's the
way
boss?
Too old.
Know
you know.
Yeah, yeah, we know.
But our listeners might not.
Alyssa Milano, want you to touch
me. She was pretty fine for a while. Now she's on those like really sad commercials.
In the 90s, she was.
Well, yeah. But she's on those really sad commercials these days about like, you know, starving children and...
Oh, she is?
She does those.
Man,
yeah. She's like the new Suzanne Summers or something. If anyone knows who the hell that is.
Thighmaster.
I know, you know. I know that you know that I know. Anyway, guys.
We know.
We are back from our Thanksgiving break. Did you guys catch up on any gaming?
I did, actually. I finally beat Modern Warfare 3.
Nice. Good work.
And played a little more Saints Row.
Saints Row.
The game where you shout at dragons. I forget the name.
I don't know. Battlefield 3.
Yep, that's the one.
Yes.
More Battlefield.
Yep. Yes. Shout at those dragons.
I beat Uncharted 3.
Nice.
Beat the campaign for Modern Warfare 3.
Mm-hmm.
I played more Batman, and I got to this point where I was a little stuck, and I was like, I don't have time to be stuck. And then I played some more Halo Anniversary.
There you go.
Nice.
And it was
good balance.
A great weekend.
Now, not to dwell on Uncharted for too long, since this is an Xbox podcast, I would like to know, you weren't really hot on the idea, or you weren't really hot on the single-player campaign for Uncharted. You did have some complaints about it last week.
I had some complaints, yeah. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't say I wasn't hot on it. I would say that there were some nagging issues that I kept running up against, namely the balancing of the game. Like, I found... there would just be these points that you would get to where all of a sudden Naughty Dog just flipped open a valve and about a bazillion enemies just came pouring out for no apparent reason. And it just felt really strange compared to other sections of the game. And when I say enemies, I mean like all types of enemies. And there's the rank and file grunts in Uncharted. Excuse me. And then there's like these guys that walk slower and they've got shotguns and they have a certain level of armor. And then there's guys that have heavier shotguns, sawed-off shotguns, and then they have even heavier armor. And so you have to shoot their helmets off and it's, you know. And then there's guys with like SWAT shields and then there's snipers. So at certain points you would face a certain amount of enemies. But then there were a few points in the game where they were just like, oh, fuck it, just throw them all out there. And you'd have, you know, the sort of signature sniper red-eye dot thing. You know, you'd have three or four of them just swarming around your head. Yeah, and there's dudes, you know, coming at you. And that just was a little unnerving. And there were more than a few times when Nathan Drake saw an untimely end. And my screen turned black and white, and Sully said, "Nate, no,
Nate, no,
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 no."
Other than that, I thought it was good, but
cool.
The Amy's kind of wonky still.
Is that patch out? I thought it was supposed to be out over
the patch is out, but unfortunately, I played before that came out, and I'm not playing that game again.
Okay.
All
right.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I beat it, so I'm trying to prep for Skyrim. I feel guilty playing giant games when I've got these other unfinished games sort of sitting unfinished.
That's true. Skyrim is
We've talked about this before, Steven.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we've been over this.
Absolutely. I totally get it.
So that's what I played.
Cool.
And I got stuck in Batman, that part where you are in the museum and and the Penguin has that Mr. Freeze weapon. And he's like, you gotta... Or Batman says to himself, this is not going anywhere. I need to find a better way to defeat him. I'm like, whoa. What? I turned it off.
Oh.
What?
I just... No. It's okay.
It's a good thing Batman talks to himself, though.
That's right.
I woefully neglected Batman this weekend. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to play it at all. I did have some house guests over, so it kind of... ate into my gaming time.
Oh god!
Sadly enough, I mean, no, it was great seeing them.
Yeah,
it was awesome having them in town to visit. But you know, we went around. We did a bunch of like, you know, a little bit of the touristy thing that I haven't done since I've lived in this area.
Yeah, you got to at some point.
Yeah, and you know, we did that. We went to Fisherman's Wharf and Half Moon Bay, and it was pretty fun. I mean, I had a great weekend, but didn't game as much as I would have liked to. But in the brief moments that I had with my 360, I spent the majority of it playing Saints Row.
Mm-hmm.
And I
Saints Row,
and I finally began the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 campaign.
Let's talk about that for a second. So yeah. You finished it.
I finished it.
What did you think?
I liked it up until about 3/4 of the way through.
What was happening 3/4 of the way through?
It just started to get overly, okay, walk into another room, shoot a bunch of guys, walk into another room, shoot a bunch of guys. I know that's technically the whole game.
Right.
But for the first half of the game, it was very much like, oh my god, this is so exciting, look at what we're doing, look at all the stuff that's exploding. And even though it's totally gratuitous and ridiculous, it's fun. Because just these moments keep building on each other. But by the end, like, I feel like the first part of the game had more kind of side style things, like where you have to swim up and plant the bomb on the submarine, and then you're doing the boat part, and then there's that other level where you have to control the unmanned rover to shoot guys and take out the helicopters.
That part was fun, even though Steven probably hasn't reached that. We're spoiling it for him.
That one's not too
far in. I know what you guys are talking about. Okay. I've been there.
Yeah,
but then the second half of the game is all just run and gun shooting, I feel like, or at least the last quarter of the game or so.
It's sort of a blur to
me. It's
it went by kind of quick.
Yeah,
and
I've had that same reaction to probably the past 3 Call of Duty games. World at War, Modern Warfare 1, Modern Warfare 2, I guess more than 3, Black Ops. It felt very much like it gets to a point where it just kind of rushes you through it.
Yeah.
And I'm not really saying that's a bad thing. It just, you know, it maintains a pretty intensely high level of pacing, where like so much shit is being thrown at you at once, and all you can really do is you can't allow yourself to be stuck in one place, because that's when you die in a Call of Duty game. If you're not constantly moving, if you're not going from you know, this cover to that cover, and you know, basically hauling ass through these stages, you're gonna get pinned down and you're gonna die. And I've definitely felt that way for a lot of the past Call of Duties. I mean, Black Ops did a really good job of kind of breaking that up a little bit and putting more effort towards, like, you know, story development and that kind of thing. But, I mean, I can see what you're saying about Modern Warfare 3, and while it hasn't quite done that to me yet, I'm definitely ready for it, too,
at least. It was definitely, I got to a point somewhere and was like, all right, how many more levels of this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I enjoyed it.
That's just not a good sign.
Now, how's it? Yeah. Since now you finished both of them, how does it compare to
both of them being Battlefield 3?
Are you talking about Battlefield?
That's what I meant. Yeah, sorry.
I think we all know I did not enjoy the Battlefield campaign.
Right.
It's very much like trying to be like Call of Duty and not being Battlefield at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Call of Duty was just being bigger and better Call of Duty, like huge set pieces, ridiculous set pieces that are, you know, very compelling and interesting and make you keep going.
Right.
The story, you know, whatever. I wasn't that tied to the characters through the whole Modern Warfare games. I wasn't like, oh my god, this person's hurt or injured or died or, you know, all those things. So it wasn't so much like, oh my god, I need to know what happens. It was very much like, okay, we're still playing with the same characters and we're trying to wrap up the story with a nice little bow. I'm losing track here, but basically, Battlefield bad, Call of Duty better.
Cool.
Story-wise.
Yeah. I mean, there were some good beats in it.
And I mean, well, there is a lot of, more so than people might realize, there's a pretty decent amount of focus for the Call of Duty storylines. I mean, they have recurring characters, at least insofar as the Modern Warfare games. Like Soap and Price. Yeah. Like you see them in every game and they factor in.
But just wait. You know what happens. Snape kills Dumbledore.
Oh my god. Really?
You bastard.
Jesus. Without spoiling the end, I feel like Modern Warfare 1, I love the ending of that, like the final mm-hmm. moment of that game. How you, like, you know, quote unquote boss that boss battle. And then Modern Warfare 2 totally tried to recreate that in a different way.
Yeah.
And Modern Warfare 3 kind of does as well. But mm-hmm. I feel like nothing can ever top the ending to the original Modern Warfare.
Oh, that was awesome.
As far as Call of Duty campaigns ending. Go. Yeah.
Nothing compares to you.
I was singing that song too, holding my case of Modern Warfare. After I finished Modern Warfare 3.
He was crying. In an empty bathtub with with red candles just
yeah, it was.
Lining his bathroom.
It was very romantic.
You shaved your head too, didn't you? Oh, nasty, nasty Call of Duty.
Did.
So, I mean, I had fun with Call of Duty.
It was fun.
You know. I'm shrugging. Can't you tell?
I can hear it in your voice.
The sound of my shoulders.
In your dulcet tenor, I can hear the shrug. But yeah, speaking of Battlefield 3, apparently it's enjoyed some extraordinary success since it was released. It's sold 8 million copies, more than 8 million copies.
Yeah.
Crazy successful. Do you guys think that we now have a game that can go up against Call of Duty in terms of sales?
Not yet.
But in the future, though?
I think potentially, yeah. I mean, Battlefield was very well received. Mm-hmm. I think people get that it's trying to do something different with multiplayer and opening up a different type of gameplay.
Yeah.
And for the first, like, big... I mean, this is obviously a much bigger console push for Battlefield than the bad companies were. Because I feel like even though those were, you know, good games, not everybody knew about them or not everybody felt like it was the go-to next shooter. But this year was very much the year of Modern Warfare 3, Battlefield 3. And Battlefield 3 definitely got its foot in the door, I think, for future sequels.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting that, as you were talking about the Battlefield Bad Company games, like, didn't... The last Bad Company, Bad Company 2, came out in, like, early spring or late winter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, early... Pretty early in the season, not really competing in the fall space.
Yeah.
And I don't remember exactly when the first Bad Company came out, but I don't remember it being like a huge fall game.
Mm-mm.
However, when they
came out earlier,
and when they did 3, they literally went toe to toe with Call of Duty, and it looks like that may have paid off because it was a massive success.
Yeah.
Now, for the future, Pete, you're a huge Battlefield guy. What do you see EA and DICE doing to keep Battlefield relevant and to really, you know, push it over the edge in terms of a competitor for Call of Duty and to, you know, sell more than Call of Duty?
I think the first thing they're probably going to do, I mean, their multiplayer formula is pretty tried and true. Like, mm-hmm. the gameplay, to a certain extent, goes back years, the same thing they've been doing. It just looks prettier with more cool destruction nowadays.
Yeah.
I think they're going back to the drawing board with the campaign and trying to figure out what they're going to do with story-wise for Battlefield.
Okay.
I think that's probably the reviews across the board, I think. I don't know that I read anybody else's or heard anything about anyone being like, oh, this campaign was amazing, oh my gosh. So I think they're going to take that criticism to heart and try to figure out what they can do to make it compete on a single-player level with Call of Duty next time.
Now, do you guys really think that that's something that they are looking at in terms of something that needs to be fixed? Or is it just more of a focus on multiplayer? Because, I mean, if I'm EA or DICE or whoever, and I'm looking at this game franchise, you know, granted, I'm sure that they are well aware of the criticisms that people have had
mm-hmm.
for the single-player campaign, but with those huge numbers and the amount of people that are buying the game and playing it completely online, I'm going to be honest. Personally, I haven't even touched the Battlefield 3 campaign. Like, I've played the game significantly,
mm-hmm.
Just only using the multiplayer disc. Because I have so much fun doing that, and I feel like, you know, that's worth the money to play that multiplayer component of the game. Now, do you think that they are looking at the single player campaign and focusing on that and saying that we need to fix this, or is it just a matter of striking the iron while it's hot and going with what they know works, and what works is multiplayer in Battlefield?
I think it's a tough balance. I mean, I don't think at this point they're just going to like cut off the rotting leg and go all multiplayer next time. I think they're going to go for that perfect package. They're like, they're going to look at the reviews and see this common theme that people had problems with the story, and then try to build something that people have less to complain about next time around.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but we have to remember too that there's two worlds that this game exists in, which is the just regular we're going to put a game out world, within which selling 8 million copies is a blockbuster, just giant.
Yeah.
So in that world, they are wildly successful, probably even at least up to, if not beyond, their expectations, at least at this point in the game, considering that it's not even, you know, the end of the year yet. But then the second world is the world of Call of Duty. Now, Call of Duty will probably go on to at least challenge the 25 million mark, which is what Black Ops did, if not surpass that.
Yeah.
So by comparison, Battlefield 3 still has a lot of ground to make up. To your point, Peter, I think that that's one spot that they could very noticeably excel in. The question is, how meaningful is that going to be to, you know, the 12 million other people that didn't buy Battlefield 3 yet that are buying Call of Duty, so on and so forth? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that specific question. I see that as an obvious place for improvement. I also wonder, too, you know, we were talking last episode, what's next for Call of Duty, and we're talking about different eras, and, you know, it wasn't that long ago that all of a sudden we broke away from World War II, and we're in modern times, hence the whole Modern Warfare brand. Well, we're three games in now, and, you know, typically the trilogy, the quadrilogy, that's when things start to get a little old, and people start thinking, well, what can we do? So there's a chance that the Modern Warfare brand and the Call of Duty brand as a whole could begin to go the way of Medal of Honor, if you know what I'm saying, and become that game that everybody has already played and may not be paying as much attention to over the next couple of years, depending on what moves they make. And that could be a big opportunity for Battlefield 3 to try something a little bit different. And whether that be a different time era, whether it be a real giant focus on single player, just to turn in some, you know, epic cinematic single player that we've, you know, have never seen. Not sure what the specific formula is. I do think that there is an opportunity. I think that they've demonstrated that they can actually be a player. Whereas, say, for instance, you know, to speak of modern or Medal of Honor, which everybody had high hopes for, had incredible beards, but that didn't perform nearly, you know, as successfully as Battlefield 3 did. So I think that they have a proof text to say, hey, look, we can let's do something more with this. We actually have a contender. So it'll be interesting.
Thank you for mentioning the beards in Modern Warfare or Medal of Honor. I completely forgot how awesome those beards were.
That's why I think Battlefield 3 needs more of. There was a very noticeable lack of facial hair.
Yeah, so,
absolutely.
More beard.
Bring on the beard.
More power.
Bring up an interesting point, though, with Call of Duty and Battlefield out of the gate. And, you know, we're starting to look into 2012 and what's coming out. We mentioned it briefly when we first got it into the office, Battlefield 3. But they're teasing the next Medal of Honor, which we'll probably see next year.
Yeah,
I agree. I think that there's a lot of lessons to be learned from the reboot.
Exactly, which will be interesting to see what direction they take another one in.
And I think that, you know, I mean, it's obviously a different brand than Battlefield, but I think EA's learning, and especially even from the marketing side. I mean, I'd be curious to see what the final spend was, but I mean, anybody that watched TV, went to see movies, listened to the radio, they were marketed to with Battlefield 3 content on IGN, on, you know, any website. There were just
it was huge
everywhere. Those commercials and Jay-Z's, you know, Problems song. You know, I got 99 problems, but a
Jay-Z's A1. The Problem song.
The problem song.
He's a problem solver, guys. So, anyways, they obviously believed a lot in the product and spent a tremendous amount of money. So, I'm curious to see what they do with it next year. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next couple of years we see a complete reboot of either one, if not both of those franchises, from a genre or a time period perspective.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the whole modern thing at some point will become fatigued.
I mean, and even now they wrapped up with a bow their characters, and that was one of their, you know, drives to keep the series going. Like, they use the same characters, and now they can't necessarily do that anymore.
Snape dies.
Quit giving shit away.
I know.
Damn it.
You don't. You can walk away from the campaign. You don't need to know. I mean, you know now. So.
Just walk away. Like Kane in Kung Fu. I'm just going to walk at the end of it.
Just walk away.
Just walk away.
particular
just walk away.
Oh my god.
All right, what are we talking about here?
We're talking about more multiplayer shit. Dragon Age 3.
Yeah, what the heck?
The rumor is that Dragon Age 3 is going to have multiplayer.
So let's back up for a second. First of all, do people really like Dragon Age games? Why are we even talking about Dragon Age?
People do.
Who here, by show of hands, likes Dragon Age?
If I had
nobody showed no hands were raised, listeners. Okay, the locksmiths do not like Dragon Age.
A, if one of us were to raise our hands, why the fuck would you be hearing it? And B,
whoosh,
I happen to be quite fond of the first Dragon Age.
So
I was too.
I very verbally hate on Dragon Age all the time. It's a slow game, and it takes forever to get started. Well, yeah, and any game,
it's a slow burn.
Any game these days where you have to say, well, you know, like 12 to 20 hours into it, it really starts to pick up. Sorry. I mean, didn't we do that with like every Zelda game like 10 years ago?
I will say Dragon Age takes a while to kick in.
Yeah.
But it's more like 4 or 5 hours before it starts getting really awesome. Whatever. Not 12.
That's fine. I'm being a little gratuitous with my hatred, so I need to play it more. So at any rate,
yeah.
So why the heck does a game like Dragon Age need multiplayer? What does this mean?
I think it means that EA wants every demographic of gamer. They want people who only play multiplayer games. They want people who only play single player games, and everybody in between.
And this is a huge franchise for them. Yeah. I mean, with Mass Effect as we know it wrapping up early next year. You know, what leg are they going to have to stand on, really, in terms of, you know, their really big console RPGs? Like, I think Dragon Age will be the big one. And once Mass Effect wraps up, everyone's going to have their eyes on Dragon Age 3. And they're going to be looking at it, okay, what's different? What's better? A lot of people didn't really like Dragon Age 2 that much. A lot of people who were huge fans of the first one. So they're going to be looking towards EA and BioWare and saying, okay, how are you going to unfuck Dragon Age 2?
So,
and
I don't, based on the criticism that Dragon Age 2 garnered, mm-hmm. I don't think adding multiplayer is a step in the unfucking direction. Seems to me that is part of the overall problem that it's the massifying of a game where, mm-hmm. you know, I think the people that did like Dragon Age liked it because of the meticulousness and the pacing and the management system. And I'm not a big Dragon Age person, so you can probably speak a little bit more to this, but I understand the RPG elements in the game were fairly deep and they were fairly involved. And it was, that appealed to the type of people that, you know, had abacuses at their house and were like, how much can I spend on my destruction? Or, you know, whereas, as I understand it, Dragon Age 2 was a little bit easier to play. It wasn't as inventory heavy. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, it was a little more mainstream, to dare I say. Adding multiplayer seems to be a step farther in that direction. No?
It does. But, I mean, there were... at least insofar as Dragon Age 1, which is the one that I spent a ton of time with.
And you beat that, didn't you?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I beat it, and I beat most, if not all, of the DLC packs.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I really had a good time with it, and I wanted to keep the universe going.
Ooh.
I really wanted to keep, you know, the game going. Jeez. The reason being is that I felt a huge investment to the characters, and I really enjoyed the dynamic of my party. As like, you know, I mean, there were, it was like Mass Effect. I mean, you find a clique, you know, there are usually here's how I play these games. It's I take 3 or 4 of my, you know, 8 to 9, sometimes 10 party members, and I just stick with them for the whole quest. And
I usually do that too.
For the whole campaign. And I, you know, talk to them and interact with them and I, you know, get a real feel for their backstories and stuff, essentially, is what I'm getting at. And
so how does that play into multiplayer? Like, so
it plays into multiplayer because the sense of like co-op and camaraderie is really huge to the Dragon Age story and to the real intrinsic Dragon Age gameplay. So what I'm thinking is that maybe if they branch it out that way and have like actual, maybe you can bring people into your single player game and have them be full on party members, like say you would doing a raid or joining a group or a guild in an MMO. Like, maybe that's what the multiplayer is going to be. I mean, at this point, we don't really know what it is. I mean, there was a mention to it. Yeah, there's a mention in the story that you can play as dragons now,
which would be amazing.
That'd be pretty cool too.
Yeah. So what could it be? It could go the way of Mass Effect, where you have a totally separate thing where you can play in co-op, but it doesn't affect your single player.
Yeah.
It could be some sort of deathmatch, a la, you know, if you're playing as the enemies or the dragons, presumably they're bad. Mm-hmm. To be fun, they would need to be to eat people and shoot them with fire.
Yeah.
So that would be somewhat like whether it be Horde mode in Gears, where you're playing as the Locust, or the Infected in Left 4 Dead. Mm-hmm. So it could be some sort of objective-based or deathmatch type scenario. Does that make sense, though? Like a Dragon Age PvP / deathmatch sort of
mode?
I don't know how that would work. Well, I'm looking at it through the terms of Dragon Age 1 and 2 in terms of their gameplay. I don't know what 3 is going to look like.
Yeah.
I don't know what they plan on doing with the combat system, with the inventory system, with the characters. I just don't know. So maybe what they're doing with Dragon Age 3 will work in a multiplayer setting. Time will tell. I mean, we just don't know. What I can speculate that I think that they're going to do, just kind of giving a somewhat educated guess, I could say that it's probably going to be something along the lines of what we're going to see in Mass Effect 3.
That's my guess, too.
Yeah, with, you know, this distinct set of co-op missions. And, you know, you're going to be able to select different characters that you usually wouldn't have access to in the single-player mode. Possibly to play as, right. More weapons and armor customizations and that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean that's pretty much where I think that they will go with it.
Yeah, I mean BioWare has been really adamant with this whole Mass Effect 3 fiasco. We'll call it a fiasco that they added multiplayer and saying that, oh, don't worry, it's not going to affect the single player campaign. If you don't want to play it, you don't have to. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing they're going to come with the same line with this because people play for the story in general. They want to, you know, have that role playing experience,
right?
And it's tough to do that if you have like random co-op or multiplayer or something that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like the type of game that would warrant that or even really be able to support it at any level. It's not, I don't know, it just doesn't seem right. So off the top of your head real quick, games with dragons that you can play or ride that are awesome, go.
That are awesome?
Yeah.
That's where you
broke we're gonna get to the games with dragons you can play or ride that suck in a second.
Okay.
Good ones. I would say World of Warcraft, but they're just mounts. There's a couple missions where you use them
for
like
item that's mount.
That's what I said. They're just mounts. So you can't really, you know,
they're not just mounts. I mean, they fit in
your take your mount and fly into a zone and just rain fire down on people.
Well, no.
Uh-huh. So they're just mounts. They're vehicles. Panzer Dragoon.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I would have said.
That would work.
Spyro.
Well, yeah, this is serious. Spyro, that's not bad.
The early ones.
How about some that suck?
Lair.
Thank you.
Yes.
Lair was just horrible.
What's the new the XBLA game next year, the Kinect one, the Dragons? I read a news story about it a few weeks ago. I don't remember. I can't think of what it's called. Project Draco?
Oh, yeah.
Kinect Dragon game coming next year.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I would say Skyrim. You know why? Because as far as I know, you can't ride a dragon in Skyrim.
So it's a bad playable dragon game.
Terrible
because
playable
you can't play the dragons. Awesome. Maybe that patch, though. I've seen videos of dragons flying backwards. Maybe you can glitch your way onto a dragon and control them now.
There's got to be a way to get onto a dragon.
Doesn't that seem like a miss, though? Like, the game's all about dragons. We're the dragonborn. But you can't ride a dragon. You can talk to them. But why can't you ride one?
Well, I'm like, I'm human-born, but I'm not going to go ride around on people. It's just kind of weird.
It just makes no sense.
You say
it makes
though.
Perfect sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
I think it makes sense.
You tell me that after playing Skyrim, you don't want to ride a dragon. How amazing would it have been to have some sort of a quest where you could tame a dragon and then ride it?
That'd be a great end game, almost. You know, because there's infinite quests, supposedly. Like, you beat the game and you finally make friends with the dragon. You can just ride it all over the map to get to
I'm not saying it wouldn't be amazing. I'm saying that I wouldn't want to do it, even though it would be great. So fuck you, Casey. It's still a good game.
Damn you and your ideas.
Damn you.
I like where Peter was going with it, of being able to ride a dragon, like maybe over a credit scene, and the theme from Neverending Story could be playing.
Through the Fires and the Flames plays.
Neverending Story.
Wait, was that the theme to the Neverending Story?
No, but it's Dragon Force.
That's true.
But the Neverending Story theme's good. That wasn't Kajagoogoo. Who is that? What's the name of the guy that the singer that does the theme for that Neverending Story?
Oh, I don't know.
It's like Jamal or something.
Jamal.
No, it's like that. And he has that flock of seagulls Kajagoogoo hair. I'm going to look it up.
Do it.
Interesting.
But see, tell me that wouldn't have been awesome to have
that would have been awesome.
A play. Or to even, you know, for a moment or even a part of a quest, play as a dragon. Maybe we just haven't discovered it yet. I keep hoping, as I've played through it in short spurts, that at some point I'll discover a way to play as a dragon.
I could.
Bethesda, come on!
You know, somebody's going to mod it.
So. Yeah, somebody will
make it possible.
Instead of dragonborn, you're reality. Just dragon.
Live the dragon. Dream.
And people just react to you, dragon, fantasy. Orcs have stolen my spoon and hidden it in that cave. Will you please go fetch it for me?
I can't fit in there.
You're like sneaking as a dragon through town. Your sneak's high enough that nobody notices you.
Wow, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Never any story theme song.
I'm a dragon.
Hey guys, I'm a dragon. Check me out.
So, Dragon Age 3, they're also saying it's going to use Frostbite 2.
Yeah, for the multiplayer, at least.
For some reason?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, they've done that. They've split up engines before
absolutely.
In the past. Especially when it comes to DICE. They're like the go-to guys for EA's multiplayer stuff.
That's a good point.
His name's Lamal.
Lamal?
Lamal.
Yeah. And it's L-I-M-A-H-L.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Nice name, bro.
Scary. We may just need to put the link for the YouTube video of this in
or just embed it.
The embed in the... Shut up. You and your
I wasn't even trying to be a smartass. I thought I had a better idea there. I was like, you know what would be an even better
Live
idea?
Live the dream.
Take that.
Fly fantasy.
Sorry. All right.
How about we just do a separate download of Casey singing that everyone is
How about talking about weird tacked on multiplayer to segue into a Dead Space story?
More weird shit.
Being a weird tacked on multiplayer.
Whoa! So there's more EA rumors. What the heck's going on with Dead Space?
Dead Space apparently is going FPS.
Please explain. What the hell does this even mean?
Well, this is just another rumor that's been kicking around, just like the Dragon Age thing. They're saying that a shooter game based in the Dead Space universe is in the works. It's not clear whether or not it's going to be a proper FPS or if it's just going to be another on-rails game. I'm thinking if it is on-rails, it'll be a sequel to Extraction.
Yeah.
Which is actually a really good game.
Yeah.
Like, I had a really, really good time with it. I played it on the Wii many years ago, and it was probably one of the better games on the system.
That's not saying much, bear in mind. So.
Well, but if it weren't on the Wii, it would still be a pretty solid game. It was a lot of fun. It was very atmospheric.
You couldn't say that Dead Space Extraction was one of the better games in the Xbox 360. Sorry.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that.
But that's the alternative approach I'm just saying.
Okay.
Here's the thing. If it's like, there needs to be a purpose to make it first person. Because if it's a first person shooter that plays exactly like Dead Space, like you have all the same kind of weapons and everything, there's no point in switching the perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does it add? I mean, if anything, I feel like you're losing stuff because Dead Space, part of the way that the atmosphere is established is how you exist in that world and how you move slowly and even the way
your life bar is on your back.
The way that they implemented the HUD is built into your actual suit. You won't be able to see any of that.
I totally agree. I mean, seeing Isaac is such a huge part of the Dead Space experience. Like him in that huge lumbering suit, up until 2, you didn't even see his face. Yeah. It was always covered. And you know, it's very iconic for the franchise, and I think if they put it into a first person shooter, it's gonna take a lot of that away.
I mean, and then the rest of these rumors is just this sounds bizarre and just a little bonkers to me. So
yeah.
It could be a first person shooter. It could also be a flight game. It could be an Uncharted style game. Like
let me clear these up. These are actually two separate games that have been rumored at aside
that's so weird.
From the shooter.
Nevertheless, it still feels like there could be an RTS. There could be a shooter. There could be a flight game.
No, it's just like saying the next Dead Space is going to be another game with mechanics, and it fits into a genre.
There's going to be a Dead Space game that comes out that is different.
It will take place in outer Dead Space.
I mean, if they're saying Uncharted style, I guess that would just you could add a few more climbing and running around things to what's already there.
Does that mean you get to be like snarky and hunt treasures and shit? Like, I really don't understand.
I don't understand
what
that
the Uncharted style comes into play.
Yeah,
I mean, it's already a third person shooter in many ways. Would it be cover based or?
Yeah, I don't know if that's what it. It doesn't seem like it would make much sense to be covered based, and it certainly wouldn't make any sense to be platforming you know, traversal type mechanics
Or a flight game. Like, what the hell's the point?
I could see. You know what this sounds like? Is this just sounds like different sections in a game? Because you know, in Dead Space games, I don't know if you actually ever fly a ship, but you man the guns.
The
gun and cockpit. And there's those moments when you're outside in space and you're dive bombing through whatever it is.
Yeah.
Listeners, I'm moving my hand as if I'm dodging debris in space.
Don't worry, they can hear you.
They can see it. Not really. So I don't know. I mean, it seems a little silly to me. It's a little bit more like somebody intercepted, like a GDD, a game design doc, was explaining different moments in the game or levels or modes.
That's true,
as opposed to, you know.
And then they dropped it and picked up three different pieces of paper.
Here's a rumor. You know what we need to do? And this is what we should all do, listeners. We should all create a Twitter accounts and just say that we work for different publishers and then just randomly, you know, months later, tweet out rumors that are totally vague and, you know, and see who picks them up and reports them as news.
There was that Peter Molyneux account that was doing like fake game pitches in the style of Peter Molyneux, but they shut him down.
Yeah, what the?
They closed down his account.
Have you seen
Evil? It was funny.
It was really funny.
It was a really good Twitter feed.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was.
Have you seen Evil John Carmack?
Oh, no.
That was a good one.
Is it?
Damn. Lord Voldemort 7 is good too.
Man, I'm going to have to check those out.
Yeah, those are good.
Funny thing is, actually, if we're thinking of this more as different parts of a game, Assassin's Creed, the new one, totally just did that. There's a first-person section. There's, like, tower defense section. There's old-fashioned, you know, Uncharted-style section, which is actually also Assassin's Creed-style section.
That's right. Maybe we got the rumors all wrong. Maybe there's going to be Assassin's Creed sections in the next Dead Space, not Uncharted.
That makes much more sense.
I have to say, for the record, I really hope not. Only because I was a huge fan of Dead Space 2. I felt like it did the things that I really liked about the first one, but then it improved upon a lot. And the pacing, the storytelling, the action, the fact that Nemesis shows up at the end of the game.
Is that when Isaac is wearing the blue tank top and the miniskirt?
Dude, if you finish the game, you know what I'm talking about. Fucking Dr. X, dude. He doesn't stop. Just keeps coming. It's like the Terminator. You cannot be bargained with.
Nice.
But in the event that there are actually a bunch of Dead Space games in production, you know, we obviously will continue to bring you the news, and we hope they're great. I mean,
hope so.
All we can do is hope.
And we hope they're not on the Wii.
Hope against hope. Oh, come on. I think an Extraction 2 on the Wii would be just dandy.
No.
It's probably not going to happen.
No.
Probably not.
All right, guys. Let's move on to email.
Email.
This first one comes from Baker. So I'm now nearing the 40-hour mark in Skyrim and fully anticipate I will put at least the 202 I put into Oblivion. Wow, nice.
It's a good number.
It's a huge number.
Yeah.
The level of detail in this game, even as compared to Oblivion, is staggering. With that in mind, why am I still wishing Bethesda had done more? Why, when you skin an animal, does it not leave behind a carcass that has obviously been skinned instead of just saying empty? Why isn't skinning and mining a level-upable skill like smithing? Why can't I fish? Why can't I do any number of the things I can do in the real world? Why? Baker would like to know why.
Well, I'd like to know if Baker has actually ever skinned an animal himself and proven that it is not, in fact, just say empty when you really kill and skin an animal. I haven't done it. I can't say yes or no.
I haven't skinned much of anything. So.
I think as far as if you're talking to why you can't up certain skills, is they really tried to streamline it this time around.
Yeah.
Like, so you're not just constantly hopping as you walk to up your acrobatics, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
They definitely limited the skills this time around so that not everything suddenly gets a number attached to it.
But I know this word has some nasty connotations a lot of times, but, you know, it's a streamlined experience. I mean, it's... You can still do a shitload in Skyrim, and it's just this beautiful, dynamic world, and it's amazing to, you know, drop time into. And I don't think you're going to have any problem hitting that 202 mark in Oblivion. Absolutely not. Like, I don't know. I mean, I understand.
203 hours? You're not going to get there.
Nope.
Definitely. You'll poop out before that, Baker.
Surely not, no.
But I, you know, it's one of those games. These types of experience make you think that, like, hey, I can do all of this stuff, but why can't I do this?
Yeah,
why can't I
take, like, ride dragons?
Why can't I physically take my shoes off? Why can't I tie it? Why I want to do laundry, bitch? Like,
yeah,
guys. Sorry, this is Todd Howard from Bethesda. We really wanted to fit laundry in there, but we couldn't, guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they could have done more, of course, but then you wouldn't be playing it right now, and then you'd just be like, oh man, I can't wait till Skyrim comes out.
Yeah,
and it could have been another year or 2 years until it comes out. Well, and that's the thing, you've already hit 40 hours, which means you have more than gotten your money's worth out of this.
And
now you're asking those questions. I'm sure for the first 20 hours even you weren't been like, man, why can't I fish? You can fish, you just have to go in there and grab them yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Baker, you're a jerk.
Just walk into the river and grab them. Maybe in the universe of Skyrim, fishing poles haven't been invented.
Yeah, I'm joking.
But I mean, to like answer your question, though, with that in mind, why am I still wishing Bethesda had done more? Because you fucking love the game.
Yeah, that's the answer.
You just want so much more of it. It's like when you're reading a good book or you're watching a great movie. You're like, shit, why is this over?
Yeah.
Why, I wish I had seen more of this or read more of that.
I wish this was my real life.
I wish this was me.
You
love the game, and that's that's great, because it's a fucking incredible game.
The fact you're asking these questions means they did their job.
Yeah, exactly.
The elements and the things that you are able to do, they get into your skin and you enjoy them, and you think, oh, this is really great, and I'm able to do so much. Uh-huh. And then it just opens your mind to think, okay, what, you know, could be next. And I assure you that those are the same questions that the developers are constantly asking themselves, and they're pushing themselves to try and incorporate all sorts of different elements into these types of games, especially these giant sandbox open world games. Yeah. So, you know, I saw an interesting note or blog. I can't remember exactly specifically what it was, if it was an article or whatnot, but somebody was talking about you couldn't learn to play an instrument in the game, which I thought was a fairly interesting note. I mean, some of these things, you know, fishing, I guess that makes sense. But I guess there's a quest in the game where or some interaction with one of the musicians in one of the bars or something, and this guy really wanted to learn how to play the lute or whatever the instrument was. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if some of these things, whether it be fishing or, you know, fill in the blank, appear in the next game. So,
yeah.
I mean, because arguably you could do a lot more in Skyrim than you could in Oblivion, than you could in Morrowind, than you could in Daggerfall, you could in, I don't even know what.
Yeah.
Arena.
Oh, yeah. It's a building process, guys. Okay. Yair says, if we had to trade one of the Xbox's franchise in order to get one from the other two companies, which franchise would you be willing to give up? And which would you choose to bring over to Microsoft's console?
Oh, man.
That's easy. Forza.
You would trade
just
Forza?
Just because you don't like Forza. You don't like driving games.
No. I'm not a big driving.
For Gran Turismo. Like, what?
I would trade it for...
Ew, exactly. Gross.
For F1. No,
I hate Gran Turismo.
It would probably be that, or even like Viva Pinata. I don't...
Really?
I didn't play that much.
Kind of cool.
I didn't say that they're not cool. I just, for me, like, those aren't games that I spend a tremendous amount of time playing, so missing them wouldn't be an issue. The game that I would want would be Resistance. I would have loved to have played. Yeah, I would have loved to. Well, listen, hold on for a second.
Okay.
I would have loved to have seen Resistance come to the 360 and see what it could have done. I think it would have outpaced itself, at the very least, with the first game, and I think that it may have gone in a different direction, and I think that the multiplayer probably would have seen more improvement. I just don't think Resistance was a game that was played much. None of them have done more than at least 1.5 to 2 million in sales, as I understand it, and I could be wrong. Correct me, please, if I am. But those are small numbers for a first-party exclusive game, if you know what I'm saying. So
true. My problem with Resistance, okay, I love what Insomniac has done with the weapons in that game. You know, I think they're super original and they're fun. I mean, it's Insomniac. They're great at coming up with weapons. Like, look at the crazy shit you can do in the Ratchet games. And I love the weapons. I think they're nicely, you know, tuned for what they are. Except for the Augur. Fuck that. But my problem with those games is every time I get to the end of the single-player campaign, bear in mind, I've only played Resistance 1 and 2. I haven't even touched 3 yet. But for 1 and 2, when I got done with those campaigns, I was fucking done.
Yeah.
Like, I hated those games by the time I was done with them. I don't know what it is. Yeah, the pacing, something about the campaign. Like, there are segments where all it does is just throw enemies at you. And it's you have to kill them all. It's not like Call of Duty where, you know, you're afforded the ability to, like, okay, if I kill off these guys over here, then I can just rush this and I can get to the sequence.
See, if they would have
fucking kill everything.
If they would have built it for 360, they would have taken all those parts out because they know full and well that PS3 players are stupid and that they can design a game like that for people that play those types of games and they'll just be fine with it.
Yeah, just get away with it.
Did I say that? That's totally not what I meant. I'm joking. But in all honesty, for the sheer fact of seeing Insomniac be a little bit more successful with a brand that they've spent obviously so much time and investment in, I feel like Resistance, compared to other franchises out there, has been unsuccessful. I mean, if you take the net sales of 1, 2, and 3 and compare it to Halo or Gears of War, Gears of War, it's just... you know, the Microsoft exclusives in the shooter category just dwarf the performance of Resistance. And I think it's a shame because I think as a whole, even if you're pissed at the end of the campaigns, I think those are good games and they had a lot of potential.
I agree. I 100% agree with you on the potential. Like, I think that I love the idea of the games. I like the story. I like the fact that it's kind of this alternate history take on World War II and you know, subsequent years. But God damn, those campaigns. Like, when you get to the end of them, it's... I was just, like,
that's how I
furious.
Felt. That's
I was
how
like,
I felt at the end
game.
Of Uncharted 3. I felt...
Really?
Yeah, I was really pissed. Wow. I was mad. And you know why? Because the game has all these parts where it fucking throws enemies at you because it's a PS3 game because it's built for stupid fucking PS3 players. Sorry.
Ouch.
I did just say that. We got scared,
harsh,
guys.
Dude, that's twice. That means he means it.
Maybe I do. I don't know. No, okay. But that was actually a curious coincidence. But, joking aside, that would be me. What about you, Peter?
I'd probably get rid of like Kinect Adventures. PS3 can have that. Move Adventures has a nice ring to it. No,
does
Adventures
really count
is okay.
as a franchise.
That's
do you think?
No,
come
doesn't.
On.
I'm sorry. I'm just throwing that out.
It's like calling Wii Sports a franchise.
I know.
Which it might be, I don't know.
Yeah, get some skin in the game. Pick a franchise that would be meaningful or a
balls
loss.
To the wall, man.
And there's so few exclusives.
I would say Alan Wake, maybe. I mean, Alan Wake was a good game, but
I actually have done better the other way around.
Maybe. Yeah, you're right.
You think so?
Yeah. It's definitely in the heavy rain sort of category. It throws lots of enemies at you at the same time.
But then
I mean,
it's
I
got
think
the creepy,
with
like,
a gun to my head, I'd probably give up Forza too. I love Forza. I do. I like the racing, but I don't think it needs to be this exclusive thing that we have to have. I think I'd almost pull over Infamous. I like the idea behind it. I like two better than one. And I don't know. That's personal because I love sandbox games. Okay. I love running around with freedom, that kind of thing. I don't know. I like where your head's at with the Resistance, though, because I can't play shooters on PS3 very well.
Yeah, and I mean there is potential there.
Yeah,
I mean I think it would have, you know, the implications for the multiplayer in Resistance. I mean PS3, even though there's a growing multiplayer community for sure, it's just not the same experience on PS3 as it is on 360.
Yeah.
So, I mean, think about the multiplayer in Resistance on 360. It could have been awesome. What say you, shopper?
I am going to have to say that I would trade Fable for Zelda.
Ooh. All right. You know what? I would fucking kill to play Skyward Sword without the Wiimote and in HD.
Oh, for sure. It'd be amazing. But, I mean, I haven't played Skyward Sword yet, so I'm sorry to say. But isn't... The motion thing with the Wii Motion Plus, isn't that such a deep part of the experience? I mean, I don't know. I haven't played the game. Have you?
I have played it, yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah, I mean, it's deeply tied to it because that's the only way you can control it. And it's, yeah, and it works really well, admittedly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it does for motion control in a Zelda game what Z-targeting did in Ocarina as far as... sort of perfecting the gameplay. So, yes. But at the same time, I'm just an old dog, and I would rather just play with a controller at the end of the day. I know that just sounds stupid, but I don't know. That's just me. But anyways, this is your game. You want Zelda. So yeah. Do you want the entire franchise on 360? Do you want
that'd be great.
A new game? Do you want
that'd be awesome.
What do you want here? Let's hear. This is the wish list.
All of the above.
I would like Skyward Sword on, like you said, I'd like Skyward Sword on Xbox 360 in HD and playable with a controller.
With
I'd like
Kinect.
Why? Peter.
Just kidding.
What have you done? But no, I mean, I just
grenade. Think, reload.
I just think it's an amazing series, and the reason why I'd kind of give up Fable for it is it seems like Fable's really just been, as the years go by, just seems to kind of try to ape that experience that people have gotten. And one of the things that works with the Zelda franchise so well is how pick up and play it is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always been that way. It's always been extremely approachable, and even though they add new inventory items and new stuff and, you know, put the game in 3D and all that kind of shit, like, the important thing is that the game is still completely easy to play. Like, I know people who don't play video games, but they play Zelda games.
Yeah.
And I think that's extremely important to the game's success. And one of the things they've really been trying to do with the Fable games, like, with each one that goes by, it's almost like they're kind of simplifying the experience. They'll expand it in some ways, but, you know, trim it down in terms of, you know, gameplay and interface. And I get that, and I think that's cool and all, but I really think that the Fable franchise is just lost steam, and it's not nearly as interesting as, you know, Peter Molyneux made it out to be.
Yeah,
when he first revealed it as Project Ego way back when,
back in the day. Oh. Yeah, Fable's just sort of me now. I mean,
yeah,
I know
it's
obvious
it
you guys
so
have never
cool.
heard of Fable the Journey.
Whoa, guys,
let me tell you.
Oh, we have
starring Milo. Ouch. No.
Zelda the Journey. No, that would be
but
some
see,
shit.
That right there, Fable the Journey, that's yeah. the direction that Fable's going, which
exactly.
is downhill and fast. And I just, I could see a future where Fable is incredibly irrelevant / mm-hmm. non-existent.
Yeah.
We could be wrong. We'd love to be proved wrong. We want nothing more than to have every game be a 10 and be awesome. But the sad state of affairs is that Fable 3... was worse than Fable 2, which in a lot of ways was worse than Fable 1. So, yep. Although I actually liked Fable 2. I did not like 3.
I had fun with it.
Fable 2 is where it started to lose me, like probably halfway through 2. I loved 1.
Did you finish 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
The best part of the game is in the very last act of the game where you get, you know, the prison part and all that. That was my favorite part of the whole game.
It was cool.
Coming back.
And
it was totally cool.
It was awesome. But yeah. That's a good one, though. I agree with you. If I had to kill a non-racing game, I'd probably get rid of Fable, just because I've been unimpressed by it lately. So,
yeah, it's.
And Zelda, good call. I would probably say Resistance, Infamous, Zelda, or Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, because I mean, I think we all sort of just have played so many Mario games that it
a
would
real
be
good headlighting platformer.
Yeah. I mean, Rayman Origins is so much fun. How much fun would it be to have new Super Mario's on Xbox? I mean, easy. You know, I mean, that would be like
with like
a
that
no-brainer.
Art style.
Yeah, or something different, whatever the case is. I mean,
yeah.
Imagine any Nintendo game in full 1080p HD. Oh. Jesus Christ, please.
Wait, that's happening next year.
I know, but that hasn't yet. So
we can't talk about that.
There's no achievements.
This is true. All right,
Wii
guys.
U gets Xbox Live. What?
Lucas says, there's something bothering me a lot. When I was younger, one of my favorite franchises was Resident Evil. I had no trouble playing violent or scary games. I've always been an anxious man, but I could still enjoy those games. Today I'm 24 years old, and I can't stand violent games anymore. This stops me from playing games such as Bioshock, Gears of War, and Fallout. I prefer the ones similar to Batman Arkham Asylum and Mass Effect. I've never been a fan of violence, but I used to be able to make exceptions for some games. Today I just can't. I get anxious like someone who drinks too much coffee. Does that make me any less of a gamer? Do you prefer violent or non-violent games? Well, I don't
think it's so black and white.
Yeah, and it totally doesn't make you any less of a gamer.
No.
You like playing Batman Arkham Asylum and Mass Effect. Those games are freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing wrong with that. If those are your two favorite games, then well done, you're a gamer.
I think the only thing it just limits what you have access to if you prefer not to play those, because the violence is so prevalent, obviously, and you know the majority of stuff we've seen this fall. But it in no way makes you less of a gamer. And I don't have a preference. If the game's fun, that's what it comes down to.
Exactly. And it, yeah, and I mean, if those games like BioShock or Gears, you know, make you uncomfortable, then you don't have to play them. I mean, there's plenty of options out there for you. And you can still Origins. Game away. Rayman Origins, absolutely.
Yeah, and with Good Gears, one. Too, I mean, you can turn the gore part off.
Yeah.
And the language, I guess. I mean, I don't know exactly if it's the bloodshed or, you know, whatnot. Because, I mean, Batman and Mass Effect aren't incredibly unviolent either.
Yeah.
But
it's different. So I don't know if it's blood or whatnot. So, I mean, you just, you know, you're getting old, Lucas. In your old age, you're becoming more sensitive. I mean, I'm the same way. I can't watch bum fights anymore. I've realized that. It's too much, you could. Right? Who couldn't?
Check you out.
No, not so much. Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
I would watch those Kimbo Slice videos on YouTube, and that's as far as I'd get. It's as close to bum fights as I'd let myself go.
Sears the conscience. But we're with you, Lucas. You're a gamer.
Yeah.
You're totally a gamer, man.
Yay. Well, you did it, guys. You're a gamer.
And do we prefer nonviolent or violent games? I don't know. It depends on the game for me. I mean, all the games you listed, BioShock, Gears of War, Fallout, Batman Arkham Asylum, and Mass Effect, I love all of those.
But there's so many games that aren't violent that I love too, like Peggle or even like Catherine. I would say I love Catherine, but...
Puzzle Quest.
You know, I love fighting games, but those are violent, but they're not gory, so I guess I would need to know.
Well, it depends on the fighting game.
Is Street Fighter violent? I mean, the entire game is fist fighting, but it's...
It's got a fighter in the name.
It's not violence, not street violence.
Turbo HD Remix Edition.
But yeah, Lucas, street violence. No worries. You're totally a gamer.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's all good, broski.
Trey asks, hey, Locksmiths, how do you feel about the idea of the holiday rush? I know most of the games coming out are quality games, but it feels like several are always overshadowed because the market is too crowded this time of year. Why do developers not understand their games will sell better if they aren't released in the same two-month period? I'm in the middle of exam season for college and don't have the time for the plethora of games coming out during the rush.
See, I don't think that's necessarily true.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this was our Get Lynched the other week, too, that there's just way too much all at once. Mm-hmm. But I don't think games will necessarily sell better if they're sold different times a year.
Right.
Part of the reason is, like, the holiday season's coming, like, parents are throwing cash down for their kids, it's just the season to give, and so a lot of games get the cash in the fall. Maybe that, I mean, I don't know the last time you've heard of a game selling, like, 6.5 million in 24 hours in, like, April.
It was called GTA 4.
Yeah.
In March. I meant to say March.
You know what
I'm
talking
about. You're right.
But to your point, though, I think what's happening here is there's this chicken before the egg syndrome where right now society is trained to buy stuff between the period of September and December. Yeah. And that's just the way that it is. And it's that way with any product, and it's not just video games. So we could make a case to say that there's not enough games that come out between June and September. So people aren't buying games, and because people aren't buying games, nobody puts games out during that period because there's people at all of these publishers that work with the retailers that say, hey, what's a good window for us to put this game out? And it creates that syndrome of, well, nobody's buying games, so we're not going to put out games. But the reason no one's buying them is because there's no games out. So I guess the idea here would be you would need a few kind of trailblazer, kind of frontier-facing games to come out, like the Deus Exes or the Dead Islands, in those periods and do well and show the market that that's an actual viable release period. Until then, I think we'll continue to see this trend, unfortunately, where all of these games are stacked up with the goal of having everything on sale and everything new and at top price for Black Friday and Cyber Monday and so on and so forth.
But, I mean, on those same lines, I mean, we do see the trend kind of changing. There's been, I think, within like maybe the past 2 years, there's been this huge sea change. You mentioned Deus Ex and Dead Island coming out, but also this year we had Portal 2 come out in April. We had Mortal Kombat, which was a huge fighting game.
That was
game.
The same day.
Yeah.
Dead Space 2.
Yeah, Dead Space 2.
Bulletstorm.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been... Yep. We've been seeing a lot more AAA games come out at different points of the year.
That's true.
So, I mean, I think that's a trend that we're definitely going to see continue.
I think, and we've talked about this before, I think if enough publishers could get on board Or at the very least, a publisher with a big enough name title that could really affect some change would release something in the summer, I think we would see that become a major market, in similar to the summer blockbuster sort of film vibe that we see at the movies. Until then, you know, I think we're going to see hit or miss. We'll see one or two or three titles. But here again, if we see something created in the market where all of a sudden everybody says, oh my gosh, we have to put out our games in July, we could see the exact same scenario recreated.
Just a different
where
month.
Yeah. Everybody says, oh shit, we now need 12 games to come out at that time, and we're, you know, stuck up Shiitake Mushroom Creek all again.
The best part, though, like in your situation, especially if you're in, you know, exam season at college, you probably aren't going to buy them all at once. So you can stagger that and end up getting great deals down the line when you actually have more time to play games.
Oh, yeah.
I just bought Deus Ex.
Oh, my gosh. Deus Ex
is so good.
I
ordered it on Friday for like $20 from some website. Awesome. So I was like, I've just got to do this.
Yeah.
That was the one that came out like 2-3 weeks before my wedding. So I just missed it entirely.
Oh, my. We were just talking about that. The soundtrack alone in Deus Ex is amazing.
An awesome soundtrack.
Let's skip the next question and go to Daniel.
Yep. This is Daniel. Hey, I'm halfway through Skyrim and loving it. I also love the Fallout series, and it got me thinking what type of universe I would want to see in this engine. For me, I would love a Firefly Bethesda game. What type would you guys want?
Good call on Firefly. That would be awesome.
That'd be a great one.
Yeah.
Brown coats, Nathan Fillion. Although, isn't he in Uncharted? Anyways, Peter, what would be a game of your desire?
See, I look at this in two ways. One, it's like what cool series or other things could be adapted into a big open world game. Mm-hmm. Or B, I look at it more like what style of time period, anything would be cool in this respect. And I don't know if there's ever been, I'm sure there has, but like something like colonial era exploration. Hmm. Something along those lines, like you're literally exploring a map, like settling, like
a Grizzly Adams kind of game,
yeah.
Or like what was the family that went out into the mountains? What were they called? Not the Partridge Family.
Family.
Remember they like the dad and mom quit their jobs and they went and they went and they lived in the mountains and like bears came and attacked them and stuff.
I know what you're talking about.
I know I'm fucking old. So, anyways, that's a good idea.
I mean, that's not like a franchise or anything to build off of, but it's literally like a time period and an era where it would make sense that, oh, I just stumbled into this cave. What's in this? Oh, you know, we just mapped this whole new area. Like that sort of exploration thing. Because I find it hard to actually throw a sci-fi game into a Bethesda-type world. I mean, obviously, Fallout's a post-apocalyptic kind of thing. But once you start getting into spaceships and ways to travel very quickly from point A to point B, how do you do that then? I mean, do you have, you know, a half a dozen or a dozen different worlds the size of Skyrim that you're flying to? That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And insanely, like, that's the rest of your life right there. But it just makes it less about the wandering and stumbling upon things when you're flying around in a spaceship.
Cool.
What about you?
Waterworld.
What?
I would love
it. Oh, my gosh. Man, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Jesus. Would you have gills?
Yes. You would, you get gills, and you'd have to build up your diving abilities and like your ability to breathe underwater.
Man.
And once you do, that's when you can like start going underwater and going to places like submerged Detroit and Atlanta that kind of shit.
I like it.
Developers, take notes.
You can drive around on like either your little whatever the little pontoon boat is
that
he has. He can go to like the different atolls,
like the raft from Lost.
Yeah, or you can or you can hijack a jet ski,
right?
Like the smokers had in that movie. I know all about Waterworld for some reason.
Evidently, you do. That's good. That kind of beats mine. I was gonna say an open world kung fu game, like we're like literally like with David Carradine, where you're wandering the land. I mean, that sort of fits, right? It's just stay with me. So, and there's no weapons. It's just all fisticuffs, and you spend, you know, we were talking about this earlier, but most of the time you encounter people, I will not fight. But then, you know, at the very last minute, you just like
fight you.
Open up a can of serious David Carradine whoop ass on them. And all of it would be a quest to find the Kumite and to compete in, you know, the massive big blood sport event. Like, oh my God. I mean, come on.
Do you get an achievement for doing the splits and kicking pottery? I mean, if we're going Bloodsport,
you
on
should.
This shit.
Yeah, I think so. Right. Either that, or I was thinking like an I Am Legend game, and not like with Will Smith, but like the original Richard Matheson short novel, where you're literally the only living person in the entire place, and it's filled with these like vampires, and you can only go out at daytime, and at nighttime you have to like
barricade yourself indoors. Yeah.
Wow.
And then maybe you could find Charlton Heston.
That's almost like a little Simon's Quest.
Be kind of yeah, you're right. It'd be kind of crazy, right?
When the moon comes out,
you could find Chuck.
You know what would actually be cool? And obviously, this isn't happening because it's happening a different way. But I was thinking about like what other cool old isometric games would make sense in a world like this? Because Fallout worked. Mm-hmm. Like they could have done it to Syndicate if it wasn't just becoming a Deus Ex style first person shooter.
Yeah.
Or XCOM if it. Wasn't already XCOM.
Already a first-person shooter. Yeah. All these things are.
I see a trend.
Yeah. Why don't they make Dead Space into a first-person shooter?
Oh, hey. Wait, oh,
God.
That's a great idea.
Damn it, guys.
Why can't I ride dragons in Skyrim?
Shit. Okay, now speaking of Bethesda. Okay, so here's my get lunch for the week. We're getting so many emails and comments about the PS3 problems, and we know that a patch just came out. And apparently, the patch isn't addressing the main issue, which is once you get to a certain save size, which is, I think, what is it, Peter? It's 10 megs? Or 12?
I think it was 10 megs on PS3.
So, yeah. Somewhere in that size, your game essentially, the frame rate just staggeringly drops. And we've been sent videos and links, and it's hard for us to confirm it because I think the farthest along save that we have is Colin Moriarty's. He only does everything beyond, and he isn't, I think he's like 10 or 12 hours in, and he's been traveling a lot, so he hasn't played as much Skyrim as he's wanted to, so we're going to try and reproduce that. But as far as we can tell, Bethesda really fucking dropped the ball with the PS3 version of Skyrim. I mean, we all love the game, but come on, guys. Like, what is the fucking deal? Seriously. So we feel like the PS3 version needs some serious attention. We know this is an Xbox podcast, but we're gamers, and we love all the systems. So Bethesda, please, please, give some love to the PS3. Until then, you fucking kill.
Have you guys run into any glitches on Xbox version?
Like fun ones or like
both?
Oh yeah, I've run into a lot.
I haven't. I mean,
I haven't really either.
I've gotten like random performance drops, but nothing.
I had like the giant knock me into the sky with his club, which nice. I feel like that's almost supposed to happen.
I've had people walk up off the ground. I've had mammoths fly.
I've had soldiers fade in front of me when I was trying to pickpocket someone.
I've had guys get locked out of a room but still be able to give me voice commands. Like if I've walked in a room and closed the door, I can turn and still interact with him and I get the prompts on screen, but he's not in the room with me.
I've just gotten like...
But those are silly glitches.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like,
you know, the game's broken sort of glitch.
I just get the standard shit, like, you know, performance drops and occasionally AI issues of somebody trying to follow me and just walking into a wall and doing that kind of bullshit. I mean, other than that, I don't get any fun ones.
Like, yeah.
no crazy ogre hammer freakouts and shit.
No flying mammoths.
No flying mammoths. No,
I only saw the flying mammoth once, and I haven't had any ogre freakouts.
No cougar man.
I mean, all things considered, I will say that you know, trying to tackle a game the size of Skyrim, you have to give really mad props to Bethesda. The game's just enormous. And it's not just enormous; it's just crazy enormous. And so, it's tough because things of that size just break sometimes. So I think that's very different than what's happening on PS3, though. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This sounds like a pretty huge issue that needs fixed on their end.
Like I've heard that to play the game past like level 20, 25, as your save file gets bigger, you literally have to manage what happens in the world to keep the save file down and to keep the memory from caching. So you have to close doors after you go into rooms. You have to not leave items in different places. Because what happens is as you do all that, the game is tracking what's changed in the game world, and it's it's remembering all of it. And it's really a RAM issue. So the other thing that you can do to stop the chugging is just reboot. But why? The question is for a AAA game like Skyrim that's as huge as it is, it's widely anticipated. It's probably going to be so many different people's games of the year. It's, you know, getting perfect scores, tens and nines. Why would you need to manage your game, close your doors, make sure you don't leave plates around? It's like cleaning up your house. Like, it's not what I want to fucking do. Like, you know, and to do that in a
wipe
game,
off your shoes
to
have the you game,
you know, did you make sure that you closed all the doors? Like, fuck that, you know?
What, are you born in a barn?
I still run on a lot of tables, just kicking stuff off of there. Just a habit of mine in those games.
Because you can.
Just because I can.
The game's I'm playing on 360. I can.
So that just makes me sad.
I'm just a terrible person in Skyrim.
Cool.
I have 100 pickpocketing, so half the towns are just people walking around in their underwear. That doesn't remedy itself. They don't put clothes on. Doesn't matter how cold it is.
It's fantastic. Oh my God. I love it.
We're going long here.
We are going pretty long. So let's move on. We've got some MBKs, Mary Boff kills.
Oh.
Geo says, Killer Instinct, Primal Rage, Clay Fighter. Whew. Go.
Yes, in that order.
In that order?
Yeah, I'd absolutely marry Killer Instinct. It's one of my favorite games in the world. Primal Instinct's good for a boff.
Primal Rage.
Here. Primal Rage, sorry, is good for a boff here there. I didn't play Clay Fighter that much.
I like Clay Fighter.
Yeah?
I gotta say, I might Killer Instinct, Clay Fighter, or Primal Rage. Sorry.
That's fine.
I'm gonna have to agree with Casey. Marry Killer Instinct because everyone knows I love fucking Killer Instinct.
Don't get us started on Rare.
Boff Primal Rage and kill Clay Fighter. I mean, I tried to get into it way back in the day when I was a kid. I even played the 63 and a third or whatever the fuck it was called on Nintendo 64, and I just didn't like it. Couldn't get into it. Didn't like the mechanics. Didn't like the graphics.
A buddy of mine had it. Wasn't my jam. I never owned it.
Michael says, Ezio Auditore, Master Chief or Soap McTavish?
That's easy. Chief, Ezio, Soap.
Chief, Ezio, Soap?
I'd marry Chief because, you know, he's a good standby. Ezio, he's so super sexy. You wanna,
way sexy,
just,
right?
You know, he's so sensual, right? He's
smooth with the
and
ladies.
And you'd want to kill Soap because Soap, well, you, yeah, keep going.
God damn you.
I'd keep it in that order.
You'd marry Ezio?
I'd marry Ezio.
I mean, he won't be true.
He would. Dude, he was going to cheat on your ass.
So hard.
We'd have many adventures to go to.
John 117 is so faithful.
He's faithful.
Yeah.
It's the guy you marry. Plus, he's got Cortana's a threesome.
No, we can't confirm that.
That cannot be confirmed.
No. I'd marry Chief, boff Ezio, kill Soap. See, we're two for two, Casey.
Yeah. That's right. We're in alignment.
All right, Brent, the sacred act of matrimony, having sex with stuff, and murder. Which one would you marry? Which one did you boff? Which one did you kill?
That was so meta.
Very meta.
We're not even going to answer it, and we've already answered it.
Nice.
Thanks.
I think that covered it.
I just incepted that.
All right, Alan, Kaiskram, Dark Souls, Skyward Sword, marry, boff, kill.
Yes, in that order.
In that order?
I would marry Kaiskram because it's a giant game. It's a game that you could spend your life with.
Dark
Souls is so fucking sexy and awesome and amazing. And Skyward Sword, it's hard to besmirch that, but it has a couple things going against it. For me personally, the waggle is not my preferred control of choice. Mm-hmm. And it makes me sad that it's not in SD or it's not in HD. So
this is where we separate. Casey Lynch, I'm going to marry Kaiskram, boff Skyward Sword, and kill Dark Souls.
Man.
Sorry, bro.
It's fine, man. You just suck at the Souls games, so it's fine.
I do. And you've watched me suck at those fucking games.
And you get angry and you just turn them off. And you rage quit and lose all of your progress. Oh.
No, so I don't. It does that autosave bullshit where like, oh, wherever you are, I'm going to save you.
You just got punked by this little skeleton over here and you lost all your souls.
Now's a good time to save, right?
God damn it.
Awesome.
Wait, Peter.
What do you got,
your last one?
Marry Kaiskram. Boff Dark Souls, kill Skyward Sword. Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Thanks, Peter.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Fuck you, Steve.
Whatever, dudes. All right, that does it for email and for Mary Boff Kill.
Email!
And for Get Lynched. If you have any more questions or you just want to shoot the shit, be sure to send your message to unlocked@ign.com. Make sure to keep your emails short and sweet so we can get to them on the air.
Yeah.
Or at least try to. Conversely, you can hit us all at Twitter, @unlocked, @pikemans, @lynchtacular, @ign, and me, @Steven_Hopper. Today's winner of the contest, last week we did a contest for Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition.
Woo!
And the person who gets it is Andrew from New Jersey. Congratulations, Andrew.
Because there's only one Andrew in New Jersey.
There's only one.
He
actually didn't send his last name. I'm going to have to get that from him. But
all you need to do is write Andrew, New Jersey, and
you know, Andrew,
throw some stamps on there.
Now, last week's contest was to take a picture of their Thanksgiving layout in some way integrated with their game playing. So the picture that he sent through, are we going to post it in the article?
We could.
Please.
Okay. And we will.
Well, there was some other thing that we were going to... Oh, we're going to put the Neverending Story embed in.
Neverending Story.
Okay, so what's the meta achievement today?
The meta achievement is... Why don't you tell us, Casey?
Oh, okay. So since we've all been playing Skyrim, we've all been playing Batman, whatever, fill in the blank, all these games that have come out recently, we thought maybe it would do us all a little good to take a break from some of these giant games that have been consuming our lives and try something old. Or something that maybe we've been neglecting. So the meta achievement for this week will be you taking a picture and sending us a photo of your recently played games list, including a game that has not come out this year at the top of your list. And so that could be anything from pre-2011. So it could be The Orange Box. It could be Halo Reach. It could be
50 Cent. Blood on the Sand.
Please let it be 50. If you do 50 Cent Blood on the Sand, you get an extra 25 points. As it is, the normal challenge meta achievement is for 25 points. If it's 50 Cent Blood on the Sand, you get 50 points.
50
which points. Makes a lot of sense.
It's worth 50 points.
See, that worked out so serendipitously.
Yep.
So there you have it. Awesome. And if you put in Prey, you're just a god.
Whoa. You broke the bank with that one.
Time shift.
All right, guys. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Casey, for helping out on the podcast. And thank you, listeners, for bearing with us. This was a little bit of a long one, but that's just more love for you. Anyways, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Bleep. Bleep, bleep. Magic.
Yep. Always with the magic.
So much magic.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.